And welcome back in to the final segment of Inside the Numbers for this week on Friday, September the 28th. Boji Wood coming from the GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta. Mike Bernard from OTM Sports, as always, with us. Mike, let's just keep moving on through these games because, as we said, and I still think that the Ohio State-Penn State is going to have the biggest effect and biggest ramifications on conference championships and playoffs because they're both in the Big Ten. It has 14 teams, but they're both in the same conference. And this is another top 10 matchup between number 7 Stanford and number 8 Notre Dame. And it could have playoff ramifications down the line, but not like Ohio State and Penn State, in my opinion. However, it is another primetime matchup of unbeaten top 10 teams. Of course, both teams coming in 4-4. Stanford making their biannual trip up to South Bend to take on the Irish.
Yeah, Coach, not to take away from the tradition and history and pageantry of the game, but the one thing that caught my eye the most was the big line move from the opener. Notre Dame's a public team, but a move from 2.5 to 6 in some casinos is very unusual. That means the move passed over 3, it passed over 4. Those are two key numbers, obviously, in college or pro football. And two possible reasons for the move. Number one, the sharps in the public thinking Notre Dame, hey, they found their guy at quarterback after that Wake Forest win. And secondly, Stanford is slightly overvalued after their win in Oregon because, tell it like it is, they benefited from Cristobal not knowing when to take a knee.
Mike, we're not going to rehash that, okay? We're not going to rehash that. That will take up the rest of the show. It will even go into the coaches' show next hour. We're not going. That is such a pet peeve of ours, and of course, you and I could spend days talking about it, but we're not going to rehash it. But, hey, on a serious note, though, with this Oregon team, and firsthand experience, it's harder to come back from a game that you've squandered versus a blowout loss. I mean, the way that Oregon lost this football game, it's going to be harder for them to rebound, okay?
Yeah.
Than had they been, you know, blown out. Now, and I say that because of this, okay? And I know this is not Oregon's. No, this is not Oregon's game. But just, you know, they do play this week and watch that game. But anyway, Stanford didn't win that game. They just survived that game. You've got back-to-back plays where Oregon mishandled the ball, and instead of having a 31-7 lead, it's 24-14. You take away the turnovers and poor clock management, and the Ducks win easily. And again, I know this is not an Oregon segment, but I'm just saying that to let you know that, you know, this Stanford team is resilient, and they're either one of these teams that you're going to have to classify one or two ways. They're either just as lucky as they can be, or they're resilient. One or the other. That's the only make that you can take out of this. You know, what do the numbers out in Vegas tell us? What do you experts out there think? Do you think they're just really lucky? Or do you think they're really resilient?
Well, not just in Stanford's case, but in any case, it can be a little bit of both. But look, when you play physical and you have a mentally tough mindset like has been at Stanford for quite some time now, you know, you're going to get those wins. And regardless, and plus, I'm not saying Stanford stole anything, but they're playing on free money. And, hey, they can make a run. And when I take a look at the numbers, you mentioned they were +3 in turnovers in Eugene. But, Coach, they have Bryce Love, right?
Right.
Okay. They rushed for 71 yards. Mm. They only ran for 50 yards on San Diego State. Now, San Diego State, I'll tell you, they're a lot better than people on the East Coast understand. Mm-hmm. But if Bryce Love and the run game are shut down in South Bend, I think it'll be a long night and the Irish will blow them out. Now, David Shaw, he's really good at trying to shorten a game, but despite that, I'm going to lean to the over here I'm going to play this for a lot of points scored in this game.
Mike, I'm going to say something that may make eyes roll. Some may like spit their coffee out or what have you as they're listening this morning. But this is the most important game in Brian Kelly's career as Notre Dame coach. More important than the national championship loss at Alabama, because at least he was in the national championship. I think that this game is almost a must win for Brian Kelly's security at Notre Dame long term. Now, again, if this is the only game that they lose all year, okay. But if Notre Dame has such aspirations, that team has such aspirations this year, and he's built this team up within the confines of their facility, that they're very, very good. And a loss to Stanford, it could start the downhill slide hard for the Irish.
Coach, you and I have had we haven't put him there, but we have acknowledged and talked about him being on the hot seat for, what, 3 years now?
Right.
And hey, look, that remember the – was it the 2012 team, right? The 2012 team, they had to win games in overtime as 20-point favorites. It wasn't like they ran through everyone, and we all know what happened in Miami. They got, you know, it was a beatdown. But, you know, I thought he did – his team was just outmanned that night, but they did a great – he's a good coach.
Right.
And he's one of the few that can come from the MAC and go to a Power 5 and win at that level. But it's Notre Dame, and the expectations are off the charts.
No doubt about that. Speaking of off the charts, this is a game that I love that's off the charts. A lot of people outside the Southeastern Conference don't even recognize this as a rivalry. As a matter of fact, there's probably people within the Southeastern Conference now that don't even recognize it as a rivalry. But it's
right.
Ole Miss at number 5, LSU. Of course, LSU undefeated. This is the Magnolia Bowl. Coach O, he's got the Tigers on track. The Rebels, they bounce back after the Alabama loss, and they're now 3-1. And I have to – we talked earlier about Bill O'Brien and James Franklin and the job that they did at Penn State. Listen, Matt Luke is in almost the same type of predicament at Ole Miss. The guy that started the season as their starter quarterback last year, right now he's the starter at Michigan. Why? Because of the Hugh Freeze mess, because of the NCAA mess. So, again, I'm, nothing as horrific as the Sandusky scandal at all.
Sure.
But, Hugh Freeze was, caught, with escort services and all this kind of stuff. So, Matt Luke, my hat's off to him. He held that team together last year. They can't go to a bowl this year even. But, listen, I admire what Matt Luke has done at Ole Miss.
I do, too. And, look, I look at that situation when a coach comes in, whether it's especially in the interim role, you're in quicksand. The best you can hope to do is hold on to a – and get out, because it's not like you can start building right away and show, hey, this is what I can do as a head coach. You have to manage the bleeding. You have to stop the hemorrhaging of the program, and he's shown that he can do it. And again, that one loss, it was 62-7, but let's be honest. At halftime, both teams threw in the towel and said, we're not going to get anyone hurt because this game is out of hand.
Yeah, and if he could have stopped after the first series, he'd have won 7-0. So that's, but no, so seriously, Matt Luke, a Ole Miss guy, family's an Ole Miss family. His father played there. He played there. His brothers played there. He's where he needs to be. And no matter what happens down the line, Ole Miss will always owe Matt Luke a debt of gratitude for how he's held that program together over there and brought those guys together. Because, again, much like Penn State, the guys that could prove that, you know, hey, we were signed under these false pretenses that we were going to get no sanctions, because that's what Hugh Freeze and the coaching mm-hmm. staff was telling these recruits. And so they were able to leave too, just as we saw with the quarterback. So again, hats off to Matt Luke. But again, you know, even though he's done a great job, I mean, you know, LSU, they're playing in Death Valley. They're a good football team. And I know the Rebels are going to go down there and fight, but, you know, right now, just on paper, the Tigers are a better football team.
They are, and I had a lot of notes that really aren't relevant anymore, but they were based off the point spread. Tigers opened 13.5. They went down and settled at 12 for the most part for the most of the week. And you know what I say about that number, 12?
Mm-hmm.
When the point spread is 12, historically, this is not opinion, this is fact, historically, 12-point dogs cover more than 10-point dogs. Doesn't make sense. One of those quirky twins that you notice in this business. But now it's been bet down to as low as 10.5. So that little quirky angle of 12 doesn't apply unless it moves back up there. But still, you would think that LSU would be favored by more than 12 just off of what Alabama did in Oxford, because the eye test says LSU, but the point spread says Ole Miss covers.
Yeah, you know, and this game is really like, and I'm going to make the comparison here. Obviously, Ole Miss, their in-state rival, is Mississippi State. But all really good football programs have that one out-of-state rival that is on par and sometimes surpasses their in-state rival. For Alabama, it's Tennessee. For Auburn, it's Georgia. For Ole Miss, it's LSU, and vice versa. And I'm going to kind of go off on a nostalgia kick here, as you know I'm apt to do. But, you know, traditionally, this game was played Halloween week. And, you know, go back, and I don't remember the 1959 game because I wasn't quite born yet. But I know the history. I know the history of it. And actually, not just Halloween week, but on Halloween night, Billy Cannon, Ole Miss had gone into Baton Rouge and had pretty much dominated the game. But again, back then, you know, a 3-0 lead late in the fourth quarter, that was a secure lead. But Billy Cannon returned a punt 89 yards in the fog, you know, I can see it now, because if you've ever been to Tiger Stadium at night, it's a magical place, more so than any other stadium in America. And you know, and I know what, you know, Alabama fans are going to say about Bryant Denny. I know what Auburn fans are going to say about Jordan Hare and Tennessee and Georgia and all these great stadiums, all of them. And they're fantastic venues, but there's no place on earth like Tiger Stadium at night, none whatsoever. And so Billy Cannon returned that punt 89 yards and then makes a game-saving tackle as Ole Miss is coming back down trying to score to win the game. And, of course, LSU wins 7-3. And, again, Cannon goes on, wins the Heisman Trophy that year, but back in that era, if you were two pretty good teams, even though you were in the same conference, you could actually meet up in the bowl game again. And they did. Ole Miss and LSU had a rematch in the Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss left no questions. They won 21-0 that game. Now, Mike, if I told you college football 1972, the score was 17-16, and name the game, you're going to name Punt Bama Punt, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Alabama-Auburn. Auburn beat Alabama 17-16, right?
Right. Well, forget that game. 1972.
Alabama fans would like to.
They would, and they've tried to. November the 4th, 1972, almost a full month before Punt Bama Punt. LSU, Ole Miss, again, night in Tiger Stadium. Burt Jones is the quarterback. They're behind 16-10. Now, I want you to imagine this. You're behind 16-10. You've got the ball down in the shadow of your own end zone with just a tad over a minute to play. And back in 1972, if you got a pass interference call in college, it was like the pro rule. It was a spot foul. So if you could heave the ball 50 yards downfield, and if there was an interference call, that's where the ball went. Well, LSU was the recipient of one of those spot pass interference calls, and it gives them a first and 10 on the Ole Miss 10, only 10 yards away here from a score, and there are 4 seconds left. So you've got 4 seconds. You're going to run one play, and you either win or lose the game, correct?
Right.
Well, unless
there was a defensive penalty.
Right, unless there's a defensive penalty, correct. Well, there was no defensive penalty, and LSU ran basically a crossing route play, and it was incomplete. Game is over. No, there was 1 second left.
Hey, wait, 1972?
Yes.
Wasn't that there must have been something about that year, because that was the year the Soviet Union and the Olympics had like 62 seconds added to the clock until they finally made a basket and beat the USA, right?
Yes, they just kept giving them another chance and another chance and another chance, and they made the basket. Oh, game's over with. Yes, that's right. Well, so now there's 1 second to go. And Burt Jones, again, outstanding college quarterback, outstanding pro quarterback with the Baltimore Colts. Brad Davis was the running back. LSU called their final timeout. Charlie McClendon's the head coach. Burt Jones goes over to chat with him. And according to both men, they just kind of looked at each other and didn't say a word. Burt Jones winked at him, went back into the huddle. They call their two-point play. And their two-point play, now, if you can go back and watch this film. And, you know, we talk about rub routes and pick plays on offense. Now, listen, this was the original rub route pick play for a two-point conversion, but they ran it from the 10, and Brad Davis, the running back, kind of caught it. He came out of the backfield. The two wide receivers picked for him, and he caught it and stumbled back into the end zone just inside the pylon. They kicked the extra point, and they win 17-16. Now, again, they ran two pass plays within 4 seconds.
So that's impossible, unless you're spiking it.
Exactly. It is. And always funny, Burt Jones always really saw the humor in it. And you can see the humor when you come out on top.
Sure.
Because people were saying, you know, Jones, that was your dad or your brother one running the clock. And he said, no, he said, it wasn't my dad. It wasn't my brother. It was a distant cousin that was running the clock. Now, the state of Mississippi, they were so offended by this. On the major roads going from Mississippi into Louisiana, the state of Mississippi paid for signs to be put up that were up there for several years that said, you are now entering Louisiana. Please sit your clocks back 4 seconds. And so that is the truth. Now, you mentioned spiking the ball. In 2009, they're playing in Oxford. LSU has mismanaged the clock so bad it's not even funny. Les Miles, they complete a pass down to the 6-yard line. They're down by two. Instead of rushing the field goal team out there, he instructs his quarterback to spike the ball with 1 second to go. Of course, the clock runs out. Ole Miss wins by two. 25-23. So there's a lot of interesting history in this game. One of the reasons that I like it so much.
Oh yeah, and as you said, nationally people don't realize it, but even people from the SEC fans, they don't realize the history, and they play every year, and I believe they have for a long time. So, but in this particular game for 2018, I had to think about what year it is. Mm-hmm. A couple of things favor the Rebels in this game. Number one, the point spread. It was at 12 much of the week, and that, you know, as far as covering, that's a positive for them. In addition, Ole Miss has covered 9 of their last 11 trips to Baton Rouge. So now I'm not saying it's the big brother, little brother, but Ole Miss, you know, has a fire to beat LSU. Two reasons not to go all in on Ole Miss. LSU has covered 7 straight conference games, and Ole Miss, they failed the eye test up front when you compare them to the Tigers. So, but I do have a small lean to Ole Miss plus the points. I'd rather get 12 or 13, but Even if they're getting 10.5 or 11, I'll think I'll play Ole Miss.
All right, Mike. Listen, I'm just going to enjoy watching this football game because it's one of my favorite to watch year in and year out. It's time for us to take one more break, and then when we come back on the other side, we'll stay with Inside the Numbers, but we're going to move from college to the NFL with Mike Bernard from OTM Sports, and we'll do that after this quick break. GameDaySportsRadio.com.